The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is a perfect gospel reading for teenagers. It shows Peter struggling to hear something he doesn't want to hear. So maybe this is actually a reading for all of us. How often do you wonder, why are you thinking, maybe even obsessing, about a disappointment or something that pains or embarrasses us? If only we could be like Jesus and say, "Get behind me, Satan." This might help us focus on what is most important, God. In this morning's gospel reading, Jesus turns to his disciples and asks two questions. First, he asks, "Who do others say that I am?" The disciples list several religious people, both from Israel's recent and distant past, Elijah, John the Baptist, and others. Then Jesus asks a question, a more vulnerable question. "Who do you say that I am?" It's Peter who responds, "You are the Messiah." Jesus responds to Peter's declaration by instructing the disciples to keep his messianic identity to themselves. Then the gospel gets even more interesting. Instead of shutting down the conversation after Peter's big reveal, Jesus decides to share with these trusted disciples his inner struggle. Jesus tells them the heavy thoughts that are weighing upon his heart. He shares that he will experience pain and suffering, and he's going to feel profound rejection, and he's going to die. As if that weren't enough to take in, Jesus shares something even more difficult to grasp. He foreshadows his own resurrection. To the disciples, Jesus' news about rejection, suffering, death, and resurrection probably sounds crazy and stupefying. One biblical commentator describes a disciple's mindset. The disciples think that Jesus is by definition a winner, destined for honor and glory. Anyone with Jesus' amazing powers to silence the sea and unclean spirits, to heal the sick with a word or a touch, and to feed thousands with a few leftover scraps is headed for glory and universal veneration. In following Jesus, the disciples thought they chose a winner. someone who's unstoppable. Remember, many of them left their livelihoods behind to go and follow Jesus. Some left behind fishing boats and their families. They left behind their way of life to become a bit more nomadic and follow Jesus around the Judean countryside. After giving up so much to follow Jesus, can you imagine the disciples' pain and the questions they were having about what they chose? Peter's anxieties must have spiked. Jesus just drops a bombshell that he is planning on dying. And the disciples' entire way of living and experiencing ministry is going to change. That the plans that Peter had in his mind aren't going to come to pass the way he had hoped. No wonder Peter is anxious and questions what Jesus is saying. And in turn, Jesus responds to Peter saying, "Get behind me, Satan." Haven't we felt the same disappointment, pain, and questioning when things don't go the way that we expect? Even with all of our education, with our connections, with our cleverness, or with our humor that we so often use to shield ourselves, we still can't escape the pain and disappointment. When Jesus tells Peter of his upcoming troubles and glory, Peter responds that such a horrific future could not and should not happen. I don't think that Peter left behind his fishing nets to follow someone who was going to die so soon. Talk about a bad career choice. No wonder he tried to tell Jesus he wasn't going to die. Facing our disillusions is a challenge. What if Jesus didn't rebuke Peter because of what Peter said, but rather because of how Peter said it? Instead of trusting in God's redemptive plan and believing in Jesus' future suffering, death, and resurrection, Peter acts on his ideas, not God's. Peter acts as if death were the end. He lacks perspective, and in this moment, Peter lacks faith. How often do we do the same thing? When we face substantially disappointments, how often do we act like it's the end of our world? And it's a natural response, but look how Jesus responds. He tells Peter that Peter has set his mind on human things, not on divine things. How do we decide to handle disappointments in life? Perspective changes our response. We can decide that we don't have to have all the data, that we don't have to know why this pain hurts so much. We don't have to know why we have experienced loss or disappointment and the pain that we have. Why do we choose to see that pain only and not the bigger picture, which includes God's ability to redeem and resurrect? It can be so difficult to deal with our disappointments, our pain, and our suffering. So what do we do? I think that like Peter, we can begin to understand that God has a redemptive plan. We can decide that we are going to keep praying and keep talking to God, just like Peter continued to walk with Jesus, even though he didn't understand it all. Peter kept trying. It was only God, and it is only God, that truly heals us. Like Peter, we keep walking with Jesus. We keep listening, and we keep trying. For some of us, relying on our faith in the middle of our disappointments and pain is so hard. So remember to be gracious to yourself. Of course God understands our pain, our disappointments, and our sufferings. That's why deciding to trust God is such a gift. Today, we can choose to accept the gift that God has freely given us, God's everlasting presence, redemption, and resurrection promise. Amen.